He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're excited, right? This is a good day. Welcome to High Desert Baptist Church. And well, I guess what a difference a year makes, huh? Isn't it great to be able to be here today and just celebrate the resurrection of our Lord? And thank you all for coming out this morning. And I pray that you will have a blessed day today, not only here, but afterwards when you go home and celebrate our Lord and what He has done for us. And so we're going to go into scripture and prayer. Today's verses are out of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we come before you grateful for this day, grateful for what it means. Father God, I pray that our worship today would be a blessing to all that hear it, all that see it, and to you, Father, as we celebrate Jesus' victory over death and sin, that we may have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for all these things that you have done for us. Accept our offering here this morning as we praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now, Calvary's love story.
Come away, come and rise up from the grave.
There is no other name under heaven that stirs the heart of mankind like the name of Jesus. From Bethlehem's manger to Calvary's cross, his journey was marked by a measure of love and compassion the world had never experienced. He was a man on a mission, come to seek and save a people walking in darkness. And into a world that knew him not, this Redeemer came. After centuries of waiting, Scripture tells us a host of heaven's angels gathered in the midnight skies with a long-awaited announcement. Christ the Lord has come.
Here he comes, stepping down from glory. Bethlehem, just the start of the story. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes, teaching in the temple. Making timeless wisdom sound simple. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes to seek and save, to wash our every sin away. Hear the captive start to say, here he comes. Here he comes, giving sight to a blind man, calling out, giving life to a dead man. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes, Hosanna's loudly ringing. Here is the cross along the way of suffering. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes, to seek and save, to wash our every sin away.
Beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. Jesus called out to the fishermen with what to some may have sounded like a simple request. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. With a response revealing trust without question and surrender without reservation, Scripture tells us they left their nets behind and followed.
Come a raging storm.
On the night before Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with the 12 in the upper room. Even as he tried to tell them his hour was at hand, they could not understand. But in the days and hours that followed, God's redemption plan would be revealed in all its glory. The prayer in Gethsemane, the betrayal of Judas, the arrest, the trial. It was all happening so quickly. A scarlet robe, a crown of thorns, the agony of a Roman cross. And then, with one final cry of surrender, it was finished. It was early in the morning on the first day of the week when Mary and the others came to the tomb with spices they had prepared. When they arrived, They saw the stone guarding the entrance was no longer there. But an angel appeared and said to them, "Don't be afraid. This Jesus you are looking for is no longer here. He has risen, just like he said." For 2,000 years, believers have celebrated the power of the empty tomb. We come with our sins and our shame, our failures and our regrets, and we lay them all down at the feet of Jesus. But just like His story did not end at the cross, our story doesn't end there either. For the cross is more than just what Jesus did. It is the life He invites us to. We have been called to a covenant journey with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to experience for ourselves the glory of who He is and who He came to be.
I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him laid, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave.
If you knew him like I know him, you would know.
To pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? Just one step in his direction. Then in love, he ran to me.
Yeah.
How about this choir?
Do a little housekeeping here. All right. Resurrection Sunday. Jesus has done his part. And what is our part? I mean, he did what only he could do. You know, we could not forgive ourselves of our sin. And I've heard people say that. You know, they say, oh, I've never forgiven my... You can't forgive yourself. Only God can forgive you. You can forgive someone else and kind of, you know, repair a damaged relationship or whatever, but you can't forgive yourself. Only Jesus could forgive. But we do have a part in this resurrection story. And I call it, you know, title this Preaching Jesus, but, you know, we're going to look back to the very first Resurrection Sunday and see the response of those that were a part of that very special time. Jesus has just been crucified. He's been dead, buried in a tomb. And then that Sunday morning, the tomb burst open. He was gone. And his followers who had scattered, you know, they were hiding in different places, but some of the ladies went to the tomb. And they were seeking Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. And we got this passage in Luke, the first 9 verses of chapter 24. And it talks about that first Resurrection Sunday and what happened there. And I hope, you know, you'll pick up something out of this, because we have a part in this story. I mean, Jesus did all the work. You know, we are a religion. We are a religion when we believe in Christ for our Savior, for our salvation. You know, he did the work. We are not a works religion. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't be good enough, no matter how hard you try, to go and be in front of the Father. There's just no way. It took a perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to accomplish that. But we do have work to do here. It has nothing to do with our salvation, but it has everything to do with our salvation. We don't get saved by our works, but because we have accepted Christ, there is work to do. And that's really what I want to bring to light today in this passage. And we see, how do we go about pleasing God? He saved us from our sin. He forgave us. He created a spirit within us that our spirit was dead. He made it come alive. His spirit came and moved in and empowers us to do the things that he would have us do according to his purpose, according to his will, according to his word. And that's what we're looking at today is, you know, what is our part in all of this? And the first thing, you know, we need to seek Jesus. And we need to see this in the first 3 verses. He says, now upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And so here's this group of people, and we know from other accounts, it's women, it's Mary Magdalene and some others, and they're going to the tomb, they're seeking Jesus, and they go there, and the stone is to the side, the Roman guard is no longer there, and they go and they look, and Jesus isn't even there. And so what do we see here? Well, one, it says, first day of the week, very early in the morning. And so I got on here, start early. And I know some of you, you know, early's noon, okay, something like that. But start early. I know we were talking during the practice, you know, and talking because Angelina was a little late coming in, and so we were discussing whether her parents was at fault or was she at fault, and then I was talking about my son and how I have 3 boys and I used to drag them out of the bed in the morning. You know, I'd go in there and go, it's time to go, and if they wouldn't move, I'd grab their ankle and I'd drag them right out of the bed and just right onto the floor, and make them get up. But, you know, they weren't much on getting up early, and I think most of them still aren't much on getting up early, but they do so. But you know what? Start early. Start your day, you know, whatever time your day starts. I know different people got different jobs and different schedules, but when you're going to start your day, give God your best. You know, I know I've come home, you know, thinking, okay, I didn't have time to be in the Word, or I didn't have time. And I come home, and it's like 8 o'clock at night or something. And it's like, okay, now I'm going to try and do my devotions, and I'm all worn out. Worn out from the day. Worn out from whatever I did that day. And when you wait to the end, it's like you just don't have the energy. If you do it in the middle of the day, a lot of times there's a lot of distractions, phones and people knocking on the door, or, you know, whatever. Man, the best time is early. Just before everything gets going, spend some time with the Lord. You know, we say He's a priority in our life. Is He? You know, these people, man, they got up early in the morning and they went and they sought Jesus. And, you know, we need to seek Jesus every day. Every morning we need to get up and just seek Him out and listen to what He has to say and share, you know, maybe what's going on in our day with Him and ask Him for wisdom and guidance and patience maybe, or, you know, whatever it may be that we need that day, and start our day with Him. That's part of our part. You know, I've noticed Jesus doesn't drag me out of bed like I used to do my boys. You know, if I decide to just sleep in and then have to get up and go and neglect, He allows me to do that. And how big a part of your life is He? He gave everything for us. What are we giving back to Him? I mean, would it really kill us to get up a half hour earlier and set that time aside and seek Jesus? Seeking Jesus. Then comes serving Jesus. So they entered in. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And verse 4, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, the men said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Savor the unexpected. You know, when you're seeking God and serving God, expect the unexpected, but you know what? Savor it. Enjoy it. Kind of, you know, God, He's not predictable. Okay? He does things a lot of different ways. And so they go to the tomb. What were they expecting? They were expecting to find the stone there. They were expecting that Jesus' body, even though He had told them many times, I'm going to rise again on the third day. But, you know, it just didn't click. And they're there with the spices to embalm the body of the Lord according to their traditions. And they're, so they're expecting the stone to be there. So I'm sure they were hoping maybe there was some people around or something that helped them roll the stone out of the way or whatever. So imagine their surprise. You know, they're early in the morning. They get up, they gather their spices, and they go out there. And they come to the... Whoa! I mean, can you imagine when it came into sight? Whoa, that stone doesn't look like it... You know, and they get up there and they look in there, He's gone. And then, bam, there's these two guys in white robes shining, it says. Angels? Yeah, probably. It's probably who they were. And you know, and it says they were perplexed and afraid. It says, as they were afraid. And so, you know, they see Him and they're like, gosh, what is this? And then they wouldn't even look at Him. They just got their heads kind of facing down. And, you know, we need not be perplexed and afraid. You know, we need to be, you know, like that song, with anticipation. You know, what is God going to do today? You know, savor the unexpected. And when it happens, just kind of, just kind of let it happen and take it in. You know, don't be in such a rush to get to point B from point A that you kind of forget what happened on the way there. God does a lot of things in our lives each and every day. And sometimes there are things that we kind of anticipate, but sometimes there are things we did not anticipate, but it's great. I've been on mission trips and had some experiences, you know, we just did not expect. And I just, you know, I look back on it, and those were the best times. You know, that's when God was working. You know, when you have the unexpected obstacle. And I mean, it was like one time we were coming down the mountain, and so the cops stop us. You know, this is in Peru. And they stop us. And in those countries, you're always a little like, what are they stopping us for? You know, it's like you don't know exactly what their deal is. And so they stopped us. And so, you know, the guy's, of course, speaking Spanish. So I got no clue what he's saying. But he's chattering with the driver. And then they get done, and the driver goes, we're going to take this. They have a policeman that needed to go to the town we were going to, which was like an hour and still another hour and a half away or whatever. And this guy needed to get there, and I guess in Peru, you know, they don't exactly have cars all over the place. He could just go. So they hitched a ride with us. And we had this big van, you know, holds 17 people or whatever. And we weren't full. And so we didn't have a seat for him. No, he just sat on. He got in and we shut the door. And he just sat on the ground. And we had been in the middle of just sharing testimonies about what had happened so far on that trip. And he sat there. And we had some Spanish speaking because we had locals with us that did not speak English. And so when we were given testimonies, we had a translator there translating both ways for everyone to hear. So this guy's taking it in. Turns out he's a Christian. So he starts speaking up. He's sharing his testimony. You know, what started off we thought was going to be kind of tense, and it just turned into like kind of a party all the way to the San Ramon, which was where we were going, a town called San Ramon. And we pulled up police station, and he got out and thanked us very much. And, you know, it was just a great time. It was unexpected. But the guy had a testimony, and he shared it with us. We were sharing ours, and it was just an unexpected time of fellowship that we did not anticipate. And you know, it was great. And it was all in the context of serving God. We were going there. We would go to towns and knock on every single door in a town and witness and set up Bible studies. And we would facilitate meetings. And we, you know, that's what we were expecting to do, but we didn't know we were going to entertain this guy, you know, this policeman, and we had such a great relationship, you know, and it was just a special time, that hour and a half that we were looking at as a wasted time. You know, you're waiting to get there so we could do the work, but we were doing the work right there, encouraging this guy, and he was encouraging us. And sometimes that's what it's about, you know, you just never know what God is going to do. But and these girls, these women were afraid. But you know what? The will of God is the safest place there is. It's the safest place. You know, just like all the stuff going on in our country right now about, you know, like what we're doing right here this morning. Oh, it's dangerous. It's the will of God. It's the safest place you could be. You know, God gave you an immune system, you know, the day you were born. You know, let it work for you. Let it work for you. It's the safest place you can be. You're here praising our Lord for what He did on the cross. We do owe Him praise. He is worthy of our praise. Nothing's going to stop me from doing that. I'm going to praise the Lord. But savor the unexpected. It's exciting when God does things like that. Savor those moments. But then we have studying Jesus. We're to seek Him, we're to serve Him, but you know, we need to study Him. And He is the Word. You know, the book of John, it says, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus is the Word of God. And we need to study. We need to focus on His Word. Look at this. He says in verse 6, the first part, He is not here but is risen. Remember. Remember how He spoke to you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Let me ask you a question. How much of the Word of God do you remember? How much of the Word of God are you studying? How much of the Word of God are you memorizing? How much of the Word of God are you putting in your heart? You know, that's the thing. You know, are we studying? Are we focused on His Word? When we forget His Word, we forfeit hope. We forfeit direction. We forfeit peace. You know, we get all caught up in the things that are going on in our life. And I know many of the things going on in your lives out here of the people that I'm familiar with. And praise the Lord, we got some visitors here and people that you know, just beginning to know. But the point is, there's people here that I know are dealing with things in their life. And sometimes they have peace, sometimes they don't have peace. Listen, we should always have peace. It doesn't mean you like what's going on. It doesn't mean there's not things to be dealt with. But when we forget what His Word says, we start taking on our perspective. And when we take on our perspective, it opens us up to the adversary. And he starts putting those little doubts in and all those little things in that's seeking to undermine the peace of God, the direction of God, the hope that we have in God. All those things. And what you got to realize is when you spend time in His Word, you're not just reading, you are being remade. The Bible talks about the renewing of our minds. And the way you renew your mind is to put the Word of God in there. And that good stuff going in begins to push the bad stuff out of the way. And it renews your mind. Make the Word part of you. Take in the Word. Some of you are going to do this, and it might reorient the way you think. Might change the way you think. Some may be restored from the frustration of stale religion. You know, there's nothing worse than religion. Okay? Religion is man-made. Okay? God didn't call us to religion. He called us to relationship. Relationship's where the action is, folks. When you're relating, relationship with the Maker, with the Creator, and relating with brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's where it's at. You know, if you're just going to follow a bunch of rules, that is stale. That gets old. You know, God, and yes, there are things, you know, the Ten Commandments and all that, those are there for our benefit. You know, they're not there to quench us or keep us from enjoying life. They're there for our benefit. You got to get your focus reoriented. Some may be restored from the frustration of stale religion. Listen, the resurrection is not a concept. It is an event that gives us the opportunity to experience the rebirth of our spirit into a relationship with our Creator. The spirit that was in you was dead. You were born with a dead spirit. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born again. Your spirit had birth and came to life within you. And the Holy Spirit moved in. And your spirit bears witness with His Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we have relationship. What did Jesus say? You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If your spirit is dead, you cannot worship God. You cannot do it. You have to be able to worship Him in spirit. And the only way that happens is accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Asking God to forgive you. Trusting in the resurrection story. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Your spirit comes alive. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in you. And change you. And mold you. All these things happen. And you know what He does? He sets us free. Sets us free from sin. But it's not just from sin. It's to live free. You know, sin binds us. It holds us down. It keeps us from what God would have us to be and do. It sets us free to live out His plan for us. We can live it out with boldness and with freedom. You see, He's alive, the Bible says. But you know what? If you've accepted Christ your Savior, so are you. You're alive too. You are alive, really alive. Before you were just physically alive and you had a soul. Okay? But when your spirit comes alive, and only God can do that, that's when you really start living. That's when you can live the fullness of life, the abundant life. And you know, once that happens, you get into His Word and you study it and you make it part of your life. And as you memorize it, the Word of God does stuff to you. It changes your priorities, changes your perspective on things that go on around you in this world. It's all good. It's all good. Word of God is good, folks. And then you share Him. You share Jesus. You share your testimony. Look at verse 9. So they went to the tomb. They're stunned. Oh, the body's gone. Angels, why are you looking for the living among the dead? I don't go to a hardware store to find flowers for my wife. Am I going to buy her, a bunch of nuts and bolts or a board, or something, or some nails, why do we seek the living among the dead? Sometimes, as Christians, we get kind of, mixed up or whatever, and we start seeking Jesus in places, you're not going to find Him. Now, I know, okay, get theological with me. Yes, I know He's everywhere. Okay. But you know what I'm talking about here. Sometimes we're busy looking for Him here, and He's like right here going, I'm over here. You may be saying, oh, I'm looking, I'm going to do this thing for God, whatever it might be. But that's not what He has called you to. What has God called you to? When people want to serve here, and we have a lot of just fine people that serve here, but I always ask them, I go, are you called to this? You want to do this? Are you called to it? I ask that in the membership class, people that say, I want to be a member of this church. One of the questions I ask is, are you called to be a part of this church? Because if God calls you here, that means there's something for you here where you will fit in. You will do something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be this high profile thing. It could be whatever it is that God has called you to. Doesn't matter what it is. God has called you here, then you need to be here. God has called you somewhere else, you need to be somewhere else, because that's where your best place is in serving God. And then what happens when you serve God? When you figure out, and you really don't have to figure it out too much, if you just let Him lead you, He'll take you where you want to go, where you need to go. But when the best part about doing that is that begins to give you testimonies of how God works in your life. Because what they did, it says, they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. All the rest of them. There's about 120 of them. Because that's who ended up in the upper room. So it wasn't just the 11. They told it to anybody that had anything to do with it. They shared the gospel. Sharing Jesus. And your best tool is your own testimony. What did God do in your life? Share it. What did He do? What was the thing that you were lost in and it just seemed like nothing would happen and then God showed up and it changed it. That's what you share. People don't want to hear your religion. They want to hear your story. And please don't start when you were 2. And work your way up to when you were 82. Okay? Telling your testimony is a skill. And you hone it. And I have several You know, you don't just have one test. The only testimony you have is not just your salvation experience. People think, well, that's my testimony. Well, yeah, I have that testimony, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I think every salvation experience is pretty cool. You know, God did something in a very unique way in your life. But you know what? I have a testimony about how God worked in my marriage. I have a testimony about how God worked in my money. I got testimonies about how God worked, in the mission field. You know, at my job. I got a testimony in all those areas. And sometimes you meet people that need to hear this testimony. And sometimes God brings people across your path that need to hear that testimony. Because, see, people aren't really interested in your relationship with God unless there's something tangible. Like, wow, He could do something in my life? You know, He could help my marriage? He could help my relationship with my kids? I mean, really? You know, that's what gets people's interest. We need to have a testimony, and we need to share it. And we should be quick to tell what Christ has done in our lives. Your testimony is the most powerful witness you have. It's the most powerful witness you have, because that's real change. Something really happened in you. And you share it, and it's not on you whether they believe it or not, or whether they act upon it. It's not on you. You share it, whatever they do, they do. But let me tell you, God brings people across your life. They bring them across your path to share something. He doesn't waste His time and energy setting up these meetings. I do not believe in coincidence. God, in serving God, people do things. I was sharing this the other night. I think it was at the men's meeting. The first mission trip I took, I went on some smaller ones for a day or two, but the first major one was to Peru. And when I was there, it was the first time really, I'd been to Mexico a couple times, just kind of barely, because I have a pastor friend that's in TJ, and so I would go down and visit him occasionally, and I was always very nervous about leaving the United States, okay? I was just like, can't read a single sign, don't understand what anybody's saying, that just doesn't sit well with me. And so I had done that a couple times with him. But when we went to Peru, the first night we got there, we didn't have our interpreters with us or anybody. The trip I went on, nobody even spoke Spanish in our group. Those were coming later. And so we decided we're going to go up to the marketplace and get something to eat. And we walked up, and I was pretty nervous. I'll admit it. I was pretty nervous. I was really uncertain what this was going to be about. And we went up to the marketplace, and I loaded up on Snicker bars, and I think it was Cheez-Its they had, because I wasn't sure I was even going to eat those 2 weeks, because I wasn't sure about the food. I was just like, I'm going to get a whole bunch of Cheez-Its and Snickers, and I think there was some M&Ms, and I had this big old bag of junk, but I was going to nibble on that for 2 weeks if I had to. That was what was going to sustain me. So we're on our way back, and we're walking on the sidewalk there, and we're walking down, and all of a sudden, we're hearing music. And it was in English, and it was praise songs. It was with instruments, and we're like, wow, where's this coming from? And we're walking down, and we come to this building. It was only about, I don't know, three buildings down from our hotel, and the door was open, and there was a sign there in English that said, "Praise the Lord," or something like that, worship, whatever. I don't exactly remember, but we just followed the music. We just went down these steps and into this thing, and all of a sudden, and there was about maybe 30, 40 people in there, and there was the band was up on the stage, and what it was a whole bunch of people from the embassies. Because there were embassies all around where we stayed. We stayed in the ritzy area of Lima in this really nice hotel for one night until we went up to the Andes. But so there's a whole bunch of people there from all these different countries. Well, they were all learning English, and they were all Christians. It was like a Bible group. And so to practice their English, they would sing praise songs like every other Wednesday or whatever day it was, like every other week at a certain time. And they had just started up right when we were walking by. Now, you could say, well, that was a coincidence. But it wasn't. Because you know what? I needed that. I was feeling pretty uncomfortable. And when I heard that, I went in there, and we just sat there. We sat through the whole thing. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was they did. And then afterwards, we talked with them and, you know, and all that. And it was a great time. And it was just like, God, I told the group, I said, you know, God did that for me. Because I was like very uncomfortable not being able to read anything or understand what was going on around me, because I'm a control freak and I want to know what's happening. And I was very uncomfortable. And you know what, though? I sat in there, and man, you know, the music just ministered to me. And it came to my mind. I just thought, God knew I needed this. God knew I needed this. And He did it. And I was cool. And that was the most awesome mission trip. And we had a great time. A lot of people got saved. A lot of Bible studies got started in the town that we went to up there in the Andes. And you know, God just had His stamp all over it. But that little thing, that first night, that set me up for success the rest of the trip. Because no longer did I have doubts or whatever. I just figured, okay, God knows I'm here. You know, like sometimes you know things about God intellectually, but you don't feel it here. You know, when He moved it, I knew God was there with me, and I knew I was going to be okay intellectually. But I was like, what am I doing here? I'm very uncomfortable with this. And He just used that 2 hour period, and it just set the stage. You know, there's a testimony right there. I just gave it to you. You know, sometimes God pulls us into areas where we're uncomfortable, but you know what? He'll make you comfortable. He'll help you do and fulfill the purpose He called you there for. And then when that happens and you run into someone else, and I use that. I use that with other. I went to Peru 5 times. And we'd have new people that were uncomfortable. And I just say, hey, man, it'll be cool. You know, I'm the old veteran now, you know. So God does these things. And you know, you start early. You seek Him. You savor Him when He does these unique things. You stay focused on Him. And then you just share what He did. You don't have to make up anything. You don't got to really prepare for it. God will bring it to your mind. He'll bring it to your mind. You know, Acts 8:35, this is one of my favorite verses of all time. This is about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And Philip is an evangelist. And he's just been in Samaria, and he was preaching, and a lot of people were receiving it. And all of a sudden, God says to him, go to the desert. Go to this place. Now, can you imagine that? Here you are. You're doing the will of God. And people, I mean, you're preaching. People are getting saved all over the place. Just hundreds of people getting saved. Accepting the gospel. Accepting Jesus. Just interested. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, God goes, now you need to go to this place. And He doesn't even tell him anything except go to this place. And so Philip goes there. And there's this Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, this is a guy from Ethiopia. He's got power. He's got some authority. He's on behalf of the queen. But this guy's a believer. Now, he doesn't know about Jesus. But he's a believer in the one true God. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship God. He'd gone there to worship the one true God. And now he's on his way home, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he's reading it, and he's not understanding it. He can read, you know, he can understand the words, but he doesn't know what it means or what it pertains to. And here's God already knowing this, of course, He's God. And He tells Philip. Now, to Philip's like, wow, you're pulling me out of this? You know, thousands of people getting saved, and I'm doing all this stuff, and it's really good. And now you're telling me to go out in the middle of the desert to meet one guy? Yeah. just one guy. Because you know what? Just one guy is very important to God. I don't know who that one guy is that's in your life, or one gal, one person. But that person that you've been praying for, that person that's just always there, but they just never seem to get it or see the need. God cares about that one too. He cares about the thousands, but He also cares about the one. Aren't you glad He cares about the one? Because you know, there was a time when I was the one. There was a time when you were the one. And God cared about you. But the eunuch's coming along in his chariot. And Philip comes running up alongside of him and just says, "Do you understand what you read?" And the guy reads a passage of Scripture in Isaiah, which was coincidentally about Jesus Christ dying and being rejected. And Philip says, "Well, let me talk with you." And it says this verse: "Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same Scripture, and preached unto him Jesus." You know, that's what happened to you. That's what happened to me. Wherever we were at, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch was at a place in his life. He was at a place in the Bible, wherever it could be. But Philip he didn't try to change him or move him or say, "You got all these prerequisites." He just said, "Where are you at, man? Okay, I'll start right where you're at, and I'm going to preach to you Jesus." Because, you know, Jesus is all they need. And when you're telling your testimony, you're not really talking about what you did. You're talking about Jesus, what He did. You're preaching to Him Jesus. Because that's what that guy needed to hear. He saw the Scripture, but he didn't know who he was talking about. And Philip told him who he was talking about, who Isaiah was talking about Jesus. You see, the first century church didn't have the New Testament. We are so blessed. We can read this whole New Testament here, and we can understand so many more things than they could. God has given us a lot of light, folks. A lot of light that we can see. They did not have the New Testament. All they had was Old Testament prophecy and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they turned the world upside down, just talking about Jesus. You know what? That's what I just said. Okay. It was enough then. It's enough now, folks. I know a whole lot of people that are really smart and really, I mean, they can go into the Bible really deep, and there's a place for that. You know, there's a place for knowing the deeper things that are in this Word. The more you explore, the more you realize it had to be God written, because it all just relates to itself just without error. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing book the more you study it. But you know what? You don't have to relate to people on that level. That's really good for like these Bible studies and, you know, deep things. But when you're just talking to people, death, burial, and resurrection, man, it's all you need. You don't got to memorize 5,000 scriptures. You just talk about death, burial, and resurrection. It was enough then. That's what got the church started. It's what kept the church going all these years. It's all we need is the gospel. It's all we need. Because once you light the fire, you know, once that fire is lit, the digging in comes on its own. the getting into the Word, the applying the Word. You know, if you really have the Spirit of God within you, I mean, you have to praise Him. You have to look at this book and go, wow, this thing is so true. And you want to apply it to your life. Jesus is enough, folks. He just is. And the great thing about our Lord is that he said, what did Jesus say? He said, seek first the kingdom of God. That's getting saved, by the way. You're not part of the kingdom of God until you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, seek that first, and all these other things will be added to you. All these other things. God knows your needs. He knows the things that are broken in your life that need to be repaired. But you seek first Him. You seek Him first. And He'll work with you on the rest. He'll bring you down a path. And it's a marvelous journey. And I hope what I've just talked about here today will help you to look at it that way, to savor the moments, to look forward to what God's going to do, and to really do what Jesus said to do. He said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself and pick up your cross. Our problem is we don't like to deny ourselves. We like to think we're pretty smart. We like to think we got things figured out. We like to think that doesn't apply to this part here, doesn't apply to me. And what God says, if you really want to follow me, what Jesus said, if you really want to follow me, you just got to deny yourself. You just say, you know what, Lord, I know probably some of what I think is might be right, but I'm just going to deny it all. I'm just going to leave it all down. I just want you to show me. Show me in your Word. The areas I think I'm pretty smart, you're way smarter than me, Lord. Our knowledge means nothing, the Bible says, without love. Our knowledge, our speech, our actions mean nothing without love. If you don't have the Lord, God is love, right? If you don't have the love of God in you, everything you say, everything you think you know, everything you do means nothing. The Bible says it's clanging cymbals. It's just noise. But when you got God in there and you submit yourself to Him, things start happening, folks. I'm here to tell you. Things start happening. And it's cool. I'll never regret the ride God has had me on since I accepted Him 30 whatever years ago. Best ride ever. Still going. Still going. Jesus died for you. There may be somebody, maybe watching, maybe here, that you need to understand that Jesus died for you. This day that we celebrate is so special because Jesus rose from the dead. He died for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of this world. And He paid the price. He paid the price you owed. I owed. He paid the price. And then He rose in victory. God raised Him from the dead. In victory over sin, over death. You know, we only die, we die now physically, but if you know the Lord, you'll never die again. But if you don't know the Lord, you will die again. There is a second death that the Bible says. A second death. And that's going to be at the judgment when God looks at you and He doesn't see Jesus And so he judges you by your works. And who among you here would say, I've never done anything wrong? You will be found guilty, and you will pay the price for your own sin, yourself. And you will be cast into a lake of fire to pay that off, where there's weeping, gnashing of teeth, eternally. You sinned against an infinite God. Therefore, it's an infinite punishment. But the good news is, you accept Christ your Lord and Savior, and you also get an infinite blessing. You don't die the second death. You know, if you're born twice, you only die once. But if you're only born once, you die twice. But when you only die once, that just means absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then whatever heaven's going to look like, and I've gone into that in Revelation some, you know, recently, but whatever that is, it's way better than the other. Don't play games with your future, with your destiny. You may be sitting here today and you may have realized, I have never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I need to do so. If you have just realized that, today is the day for you. You need to make a decision for Jesus Christ. This is what we call the altar call. And it just means come forward and just say, I need Jesus. That's all you got to say. I need Jesus. I recognize that I lack. I recognize that my good works aren't going to do it. I recognize I need Him. And I want to live forever, so I'm placing my faith and trust on what happened on this day almost 2,000 years ago. For the rest of us, if you are a believer, praise the Lord for what He has done in your life. And we are going to take of the Lord's Supper here in a minute. And of course, the Bible warns us, Paul warns us not to take the Lord's Supper when we're kind of out of sync with God. So during the invitation, if God brings something to your mind, maybe you just need to ask Him to forgive you, or ask, you know, just maybe you just need to have a little conversation with Him, make things right. This will be your time as well. This will be your time as well to do that. But I have a couple of questions, just simple. Are you seeking Him in the right places? Are you serving Him according to what He wants, not what you want, what He wants? And while you're doing that, are you savoring the time He's working in your life? And are you sharing it? All of us, we need to kind of ask God, where am I short? You know, if you have a little prayer and ask Him, where am I falling short? You know He'll answer. Not in a put-down way. He'll just say, you know, this area here, you're kind of timid. You need to be bolder, or, you know, whatever. He'll answer you if you just listen. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, I hope the Word of God has spoken to you in some way today. That you are open to it. That you are open that God could reach in and do something in your life. I pray that God used His Word today to do that. Is your mind stayed on Christ? Are you focused on Him? Are you letting Him work in your life? Are you getting out of the way? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before You grateful for Your amazing love. Your amazing love towards us. Father, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear when You are moving in our lives. That we may be more like Jesus each and every day. If there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray that Your Spirit would work really hard on their spirit, on their heart, Lord, that they would maybe overcome shyness or overcome pride and just humbly admit they need you. For those of us that know you, Lord, and that you know us, I pray that we would seek you, and we would serve you, and we would study you, and we would share you with a lost and dying world. Help us to get better at it, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As Kathy plays, this is your time. Take advantage of these moments. If God has put something on your heart, on your mind, this is the time to deal with it. God, we come before you grateful for what you did on the cross, Lord, sending your Son to live among us, to be one of us, and yet live a sinful life, that he would be the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for our sin. Thank you for your love, Lord, that you showered upon us. Thank you for your great salvation. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to please you in every area of our life, that Christ would be lifted up, that you'd be glorified, that we would be faithful witnesses for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.